Okay, we are up to Tehillim. Okay, Kuf Yud Chet, Pasuk Yud Tet. Arguably, one of the most famous psukim in all of Tehillim. Certainly, one of the most famous psukim that we have in Hallel. That is absolutely the case. So here, David HaMelech says, Pitchuli Sha'arei Tzedek, open for me the gates of righteousness. Avo vam, and I will go in them. Ode ka, and I will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? I'll thank Hashem. So the very obvious question is, what in fact are these Sha'arei Tzedek? Okay, what does that mean? You know, because frankly, I don't know.
The gates of Yerushalayim.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going at the pearly gates of heaven.
It could be a lot of different things. Yeah. But David HaMelech specifically is asking that these gates open. Okay, so if you turn to this page, it's a source page, which everybody should have, and you look in the top, let's go with what Rashi has to say. Rashi says, Pitchuli Sha'arei Tzedek. Does everyone see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says, Ve'elu hein Sha'arei Tzedek. And obviously Rashi was bothered by this too. In other words, he's saying here, let me tell you what Sha'arei Tzedek means. It says, Otam Hasha'arim. Okay. Those gates shall batei kinesiot u'midrashot. So when we say Sha'arei Tzedek, we're talking about the gates that one would open to go into a synagogue or to go into a house of learning. And if you ever look at some of the old pictures of even a shtibl in Europe, there'd be a gate. Okay, there was very, very often a gate. And very often, fascinatingly enough, what would be written on top of the gate?
Sha'arei Tzedek.
Pitchuli Sha'arei Tzedek. Very, very, very often. Just like probably, I don't know if there's a more popular saying over in Aron Kodesh other than Dalifnei Miyata Omeid. I don't think there's anything more popular than that. Maybe Shviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. That's a biggie too. But though, you know, it's one of those two. But it seems that Pitchuli Sha'arei Tzedek was always over a gate leading into a shul.
I've never been there, but does Sha'arei Tzedek Hospital have a gate to go into?
I've been to Sha'arei Tzedek Hospital. I've never seen a gate there. Now, it's entirely possible before they rebuilt it and made it into an absolutely up-to-date, if a hospital can be beautiful, beautiful hospital.
Hospital's going to be beautiful.
You know, it's possible that they did have such thing. Yeah. But I don't know that. Okay, but at any rate, it says, so these are Otam Hasha'arim Shabbat Kenesiyot Midrashot Asher Heim LaHashem. It's very interesting. They're dedicated LaHashem. Okay, so it's not a place of mere intellectual activity, which is a very crucial idea, but they're dedicated LaHashem. I mean, Rashi didn't have to say that, because look what he could have said. Otam Hasha'arim Shabbat Kenesiyot Midrashot V'Hatzadikim Ba'im Bahem. Right? Would that not have been perfect Ivrit? These are the gates of the Bat Kenesiyot and Midrashot, and the Tzadikim come into them. But he very carefully puts Asher Heim LaHashem, the dedicated to Hashem. So it's not just an intellectual enterprise, but it's really what we would call in modern terminology holistic. It's sort of part of the entirety of the Jewish worldview is going to be found in some ways in the Batei Knesiot and the Batei Midrashot. Okay? So that's what David HaMelech is talking about according to Rashi here. Okay? So we know that David was, besides being a Navi and besides being a Melech and besides being the Meshorer, the great musician, we also know that David was a Talmud Chacham. Big Talmud Chacham. Okay? And therefore, look at the next phrase. So first it's Pitchuli Sha'arei Tzedek, going back to Tehillim itself. Then comes, okay, and if you don't already have it in your mind, there should be a comma after the word tzedek. Then comes the phraseology of avobam, I will go into them, meaning if you're going with Rashi, the gates of the Bate Midrash and Bate Knesiot, and odekah, and I will thank Hashem. Now this is fascinating, because if we go again with what Rashi said, that those three simple words, Asher, Heim, LaHashem, right? They are dedicated to Hashem. Now we understand really what David HaMelech is saying. Avobam odeka. I will go in there and I will praise Hashem. My learning, if I'm going to a Beit Medrash, is going to be L'Shem Shemayim. Not just for my own interest. Okay? My davening is to invoke a dialogical encounter, to involve with an encounter with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so everything is going to be Odeka. I'm going to thank Hashem. So far, so good, guys. A whole new way to understand this pasuk. Because what do we usually do when we're in that shul? We start singing it. So when you sing it, you focus on making sure that you're keeping up with everybody. The melody is right. You don't think about the content. But it's a beautiful content from Rashi. Okay. Now,
what is it like? What's it like? Mi'ila, like, you know, you're opening up the gates of heaven on the tefillot. So, like, to me, like, it just seems like up above, like, not necessarily down here.
Okay,
I would
suggest to you that there's quote unquote nothing wrong with such a view, if that brings you to a spiritual height, that's beautiful. Because remember, we're not talking here halacha. Okay? In other words, you can have all the views in the world you want when it comes to a gadita. Okay? When it comes to non-halachic matter. And you very frequently have midrashim that do not jive with one another. Okay? In halacha, it's a different world. In other words, no matter how I feel, and no matter how I want Judaism to be relevant, I can't eat a McDonald's hamburger and say, well, you know, to me, this is really my way. No, no. To you, there's nothing. There's an objective, completely objective reality. But if you want to view this as referring, you know, specifically to Shaarei Shemayim, that's fine. The only problem is, that if it's Shaarei Shemayim, then what do you do with Avo Bam Odeka?
After 120 years.
Okay.
I will thank you that I'm up there and not down there.
Okay. So what you're saying in your mind...
In the here and now.
Right. Well, you're
there and there now.
Right. You're looking at this. You're saying
in the future. You're
looking at Achrei Mod Kedoshim.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at. And that's perfectly fine. Okay. Again, it's not wrong. And I'm sure there's somebody somewhere of note in Jewish history who suggested it could be referring to that. That's fine. Now, Rashi actually reads these two psukim together. Of Pitchu li Shaarei Tzedek, Avovam, Odeka, and then Zeh HaShaar. Okay? Now, this is the gate. Now, what gate? The gate leading, according to Rashi, to Bate Knesiot and Bate Midrashot, right? So, Zeh HaShaar LaHashem. And again, it's fascinating how Rashi took that. If you look back in his Perush, those three little words, these are such powerful words of Rashi, Asher Heim LaHashem. Okay, so Zeh HaShaar LaHashem. And Tzadikim Yavo Uvo.
In this one, mm-hmm. I see it more what she's saying. Because this is the Lord's gate. Where's the Lord's gate? In Shalaya. So for this in the second one, I see it more than the first one.
Okay. All right. Which is fine. At the same time, I don't think it disqualifies Rashi's three-letter transformative analysis, three-word transformative analysis, Asherahim LaShem. Right? So that's an alternative view. So whether you want to say this is referring to our world, or you want to refer it to the supernal world, Shemayim, we have an idea that no matter what, it's tzaddikim yavo uvo. Tzaddikim are going to come there. Okay? So far, so good? We're good on that? Everyone's more or less smiley? Okay. So we can accept quite a lot of interpretations when it comes to Agadata, for sure. All right, let's go weiter. So odecha is the second time we had this word, because a moment ago we had the word ode, right? Now we have odecha. So I will praise you, like this is lahodot, to praise, ki anitani, because you have answered me. Now, it's clear.
But some people wouldn't think that you were answered.
I understand. And that's what I was going to raise. It's clear here by the next phrase, Vatehi li Yeshua, and you, Hashem, were my salvation. So, in other words, David is saying, Odecha ki anitani, I'm going to praise you because you answered me and you were my salvation. Okay? What about the situation where we daven our hearts out and we do everything in our power in this world, and it doesn't appear to us that our prayers were answered?
We don't see the big picture. We said that the last time.
Agreed. But it's clear that for David HaMelech, this is very linear. Right? This is very linear. This is, for David, it's almost like, take a very simple thing that we all learned in math, like the transitive property. If A equals B, right? If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. We all can do that in our sleep if you woke us up at 3 in the morning. So it's just boom, 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 boom. And that's what it seems David is actually saying. Odecha kinat kiani tani. I'm going to praise you because you answered me. Vatehili Yeshua, and you were my salvation. Okay? The goal, of course, and what makes things so difficult, is that what we need to do is, even if it's not anitani, we still need to be able to say, Odecha, okay, Vatehili Yeshua. Okay? I'm going to praise you, and you are, and you will be my salvation. It's like Ma Os Tzur Yeshuati. You're the rack of my salvation. Whether or not we feel with any sense of immediacy of anitani. Everyone good on that? It's a very fundamental idea within Hashkafa. Okay, it's one of the really an ikara of emunah. Okay, because like we've all been there, we've all done that, we all have suffered in various ways since we're adults. Right? And adults have been through so much. All right, next. Very strange metaphor that's used here, seemingly out of nowhere. Evan ma'asu habonim, the rock that was rejected by the builders. Actually, ma'asu, right, is not just to reject. What's ma'asu? What word do you know and I know? That's, it's even a yeshivish word that sounds very similar to ma'asu. Okay? You may have heard this when you were in yeshiva. Ugh, that's mias. Ever hear that? Mias. So mias is something that's disgusting. So really, you could translate this like this. Evan ma'asu habonim, the rock that the builders found disgusting. Interesting, right? I mean, you don't have to limit it to sound so nice, like rejected. Okay? Hayata l'rosh pina. It became the very cornerstone. Okay? The cornerstone of what? To put it in a different phrase, what in the world is this talking about?
We're just praising God and now we're throwing away stone.
Right, now we're up to rocks. Right? Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, well, don't worry, Rabbi, it's Rock of Ages. No. That's not what we're talking about. Suddenly, out of nowhere, it's Evan Masu Habonim, and we really have no idea what it's talking about. So let's get drilled in here a little bit. Go to the source sheet, and I guess you guys can see pretty quickly that there were a lot of these psukim that were not easy. So if you go to this sheet, okay, with Rashi and everything on it, we're going to look at it. Evan Masu Habonim Hayatal Rosh Pina. So let's start with Medrash Tehillim. Now, I always like to give you guys a historical context. So let's start with Rashi. Rashi's 1040 to 1105. Within Rashi's century, the Medrash Tehillim, also known as the Medrash Shocher Tov, becomes known. Okay? It doesn't mean that it wasn't older than the 11th century, but we don't know. But let's put it this way, it's the Medrash Shocher Tov becomes known at this time. Okay? So let's see what it says. Now, and by the way, I think you're going to find the explanation from the Medrash in and of itself. You're going to sit there and go, huh? What's that talking about? And yet this is the Medrash on Tehillim. So here's what it says. Evan Masu Aboni Mayatal Rosh Pina. Avraham Yatsa Memenu Pesolet. From Avraham Avinu, the great Avraham Avinu, the individual from whom the Jewish people ultimately derive. From Avraham Avinu, Yatsa Memenu Pesolet. Okay? Yiddish, they would say Schmutz. So Schmutz came out of Yaakov, came out of Avraham Avinu. Who? Yishmael, v'chol b'nei Keturah, right? Yishmael, okay, and all of the children of Keturah, who, according to the Medrash, who was Keturah? According to the Keturah, according to the Medrash?
Yishmael's mother.
Yishmael's mother, yeah, Hagar. That's the Medrash. But at any rate, because Avraham Avinu, according to some of the Midrashim, took back Hagar after the death of Sarah. So from Avraham Avinu, there was Pesolet, there was extraneous matter, namely Yishmael and all the children of Keturah. From Yitzchak, well, we already know that, don't we? Yatsa Mimenu, Esav, the Alufav. From him came Esav and all of the leaders of his Gan's Mishpacha, right? And they went all around the world. Right? Esav who? Edom, says the Medrash. Esav is Rome. Okay? Aval. So that's Avraham and Yitzchak. Aval Yaakov, when it came to Yaakov Avinu, He'emid Shneim Asar Shvatim. 12 Shvatim came out of Avraham Avinu, Yaakov. Kulam Shleimim, LaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of them were perfect to Hashem. Shnei Amar.
After what they did?
Well, even after what they did, because there the Medrash, and there's even Gemara's a bend over backwards, who try to show that according to Din Torah, what they did wasn't so bad.
And they repented.
And they did tshuva.
Sure.
Right? Or even B'nai, even a Korach did tshuva. Right? Because how do you know that B'nai Korach did tshuva for sure? So one of the Tehillim says what? Mametzayach l'B'nai Korach. Like, you say, really? Yes, they did tshuva. Okay? But at any rate, from Yaakov Avinu came Shnei Masar Shvatim, Kulam Shleimim, all of them were perfect, Kodesh Baruch Hashem Amar. They themselves describe themselves as, in Sefer Bereshit, Kulanu B'nai Yishachad Nachnu. All of us are the children of one person. Who are they speaking to? Yosef. Yosef recognized them. They didn't recognize Yosef. According to the Medrash, he had a beard, he was older, etc. Okay? Kenim anachnu. Kenim is like, by the way, very similar to the word nachon, even though the nun is missing. We're very honest people. We are the sons of one person, and we are very honest. Okay.
Now, as one of the ten makos.
Say what?
Isn't Kenim one of the ten makos?
That's Kenim. This is Kenim.
Oh, the okay.
Okay, it's with a tseri instead of a chimik. You're right. Kenim anachnu. We are lice. Yeah. No, I don't think so. Okay, but we are Kenim. We are honest ones. Now, if you're like me, when the first time you see that, you sit there and you go, huh? How does that explain Evan Masu Aboni Mayatalu Rosh Pina?
Duh.
Right? So now, once again,
out of imperfection, you have perfection also. Like, you know, Yitzchak, you had, good out of the bad also.
That's correct.
Good with the
bad. And here, even though the stone is big, the cornerstone is what holds up. It's like part of the foundation.
Right. That's right. So, however, let's go back, and then we're going to see how brilliant Rashi is once again. You know, it's the brilliance of Rashi can never be, overstated. Really, it can never be overstated. In fact, little known is the following true statement. I think you've probably heard that Rav Soloveitchik's son, Chaim, is sort of like a genius on the level of Einstein. He's off the chart brilliant. He really is. When he went to Israel one year, he studied with Nechama Leibovitz, Zichrono Levracha. Now you would have thought if he was studying with Nechama Leibovitz that he was studying this arcane and difficult Mefarish, that, you know, like there was a manuscript that was in the Leningrad library or something like that, right? Do you know what he learned?
Rashi.
He learned Rashi with Nechama Leibovitz for an entire year. How about that? Does that tell you? So, like, never let Rashi go. Okay? That's how brilliant Rashi is. So, Rashi really gives us, and again, he doesn't use a lot of words, just a very few number of words. Look what he says. Am shahayu shafel bein ha'umot. The people, the nation, that was the lowest among the nations, it became the foundation stone of everything. Read back Rashi's comment into the Medrash. So why are we suddenly told about Yaakov Avinu and his children? Because through says Rashi, through so many of the trials and tribulations and the vagaries of Jewish history, we have not been on top. Right? There was a golden age of David and Shlomo HaMelech. Okay? I'm not sure there's been ever an age like that ever since. Okay? We've had good times. I don't think we've ever had magnificent times since David and Shlomo. I think that was it. That was the end of the magnificent, overwhelming times. And the proof is that there were a few people who actually survived the destruction of the first temple, who came back and saw the second temple. They were transition figures. And when they saw the second temple, you know what they did? They didn't sit there and go team, this is great. What? They sat down on the ground and they started to cry. Because so many of the miracles that had been in part of the first temple were completely absent in the second. Okay, so it really tells you something. So what Rashi is telling us is that we are that nation coming from Yaakov Avinu, right? Hence our name, B'nai Yisrael. And although there have been many times in Jewish history we've been the Am that was lowest among the nations, remember, what does Rashi live through personally? Anyone know what terrible event Rashi lives through? First Crusade, 1096. Rashi lives 1040 to 1105. He lives through that First Crusade where most of his manuscripts are destroyed. So if anyone knew Am Shahayu Shafel Bein Ha'umot, right, a nation that was brought low or considered low among the nations, it was Rashi. So he's saying, you know what? Hayat al Rosh Pina. It will ultimately be, right, the most fundamental, it will be the touchstone, the underpinning. It's a very good word in German. The word is Grundrisse. So I've never seen a better word than that word. Grundrisse means the foundation of everything. Grund, which means obviously ground, right? And then Risse, the foundation of the overall structure. And that's, if you think about it, think of all the things that we've brought to the world, even if you just wanted to simply focus on Nobel Prize winning people from the Jewish people. Okay, we're not even talking disproportionate, we're talking way disproportionate, you know, and the health things we brought to the world, whether it's Salk, whether it's Sabin, I mean, on and on and on and on and on. So, Evan Ma'asu Abonim, Hayatal Rosh Pina. Okay, let's go weiter. All right. Yeah. Okay, Me'et Hashem, Hayatazot, He Niflot Be'ineinu. Okay, the idea, and if you read this as a flow from the previous pasuk, it's very clear. The idea that the lowest of the low, the despised, Ma'asu Habonim, right? It means to be despised. Okay, it's not, you know, rejected is almost like, you know, it's almost euphemistic. It means thrown away. Evan Ma'asu Habonim Ayatol Rosh Pina, oh, Me'et Hashem Ayatazot. You have to read it one pasuk into the next. It's like almost what you would call almost elision, right? One pasuk directly into the next.
But you can't, because the first time you can't, because you say it again.
I understand that, but conceptually, when David did it, right, where there was not...
It wasn't said twice.
Correct.
So is he talking about the Yemot HaMashiach?
I'm saying it to Helen.
This is talking about the Jewish people taking their rightful role in the world. It could be messianic very readily. Yes. Very, very readily.
That's the this.
That's what?
That's the this.
That yeah. Zeh, right? Zeh HaShaar and Zeh HaYom. So HaYom, whenever you have that word HaYom, right? It could definitely be talking about, right? Yemot HaMashiach. However, as what we're going to see in a minute, okay? As the Malbim doesn't take it that way. So let's go to the source sheet once again. It says, Zayom Asa Hashem, Nagila V'Nismachavo. This is the day that Hashem made. We will dance and we will rejoice therein. So it's the obvious question, guys. That's a very obvious question.
What's the day?
That's exactly it, right?
Well, I figure it's the day of Mashiach comes, because that's what she just said, so that's why I didn't come right away.
Right. Zahayam. This is the day. Huh? What's he talking about? Let's see the Malbim.
Is that the day that the stone that was rejected becomes the cornerstone? In other words, when we're recognized.
That's good. And again, that would carry the messianic motif. That's very good. Really, I mean, that's...
But when we're talking about Hoshea now, when is that? When is that Yeshua?
Well, that's save us.
Yeah, but it's, when is the Yeshua? When
that's now. That's in the present. It's not save us in the future, that's now. But your reading is a very good reading. If you were to read Chav Bet, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, then it would seem to have a messianic motif. The Malbim has a different take. But as we've all seen, anything that's important within Torah and Mitzvot, there's many, many different views and many different opinions. Okay? Unless, you know, you're talking about Psak, where there's a lot of views coming up to the Psak, and then there's an approach that we do, Halacha L'maisa. All right, but the Malbim has a different approach. Malbim lives in 1809 to 1879, just to put him into historical context. And we're going to be doing the Malbim the rest of the evening. So I thought you want to get friendly with him. Okay? And again, as I said before, what is this day? So the Malbim, instead of looking at all of what we've said here as messianic, which it may well be, the Malbim, and I'll just give you sort of a preview, says, Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem refers to every single day of our lives. It's a beautiful idea. Because how often do we think about that? Right? Remember, there's a Beatles song that goes, "Woke up, get out of bed, drag the comb across my head. On the way downstairs, I grabbed a cup. Looking up, I noticed I was late." I mean, and that's how most people live their lives, right? Every single day, they go through the same thing.
To the road.
Right? And they're not davening, obviously, most people. So do they ever notice that the day is an amazing thing? Right? Do you know that every single day we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating the sun, the moon, the stars? That's right. Remember we talked about that? That's the first bracha after Baruch Hu. Right? I mean, you're la'aretz and all of that. That's what we do. So what the Malbim is saying is that, listen, guys, you thought maybe this is talking about Rosh Hashanah on an alternate Tuesday when the moon is blue. No. We're talking here about each and every day. Let's look what he says. Zayom asher asa Hashem. Hu miyuchas la Hashem. The day is identified with Hashem. So, you know the word yuchas, because you've heard this your whole life. The word miyuchas is really yichus. Okay, what's a person's yichus? Right? And all of that. That was the beginning and often the end of any conversation about any kind of shidduch, as you know, especially in Europe. Okay? Very famous story of the Dubna Magid. A beautiful story that I've always loved. It's always been so powerful. So in Europe, it was very common, especially in the cities, that houses would burn, buildings would burn, because they were made out of wood. Okay? So the Dubna Magid and his mother run outside of the house, or whatever it was, the building, because it's on fire. And suddenly the Dubna Magid's mother calls out, of course this was all in Yiddish, she goes, "Oh no," like vase of mirror, my yichus book, it's burning up. My book of yichus, it's being destroyed. And the Dubna Magid was a little boy, and he holds his mom's hand and he says, "Mommy, don't worry, I'll be your yichus."
Well, I was at a funeral once when they said yichus is not what you have, it's what you're leaving.
There you go. And that's very powerful. That's very powerful. Okay? So, thinking in those terms, Zehayom asher asa Hashem hu miyuchas la Hashem. It's inextricably interrelated, right? Inextricably related with Hashem. Every, what day? Every day! Uvo! And every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us light, every day he grants us life, well, it's a day for rejoicing. So, in a sense, really, I hate to say it because, yes, I too have said these words, "Oh, it wasn't a very good day." Really?
You woke up? It's a good day.
Did you wake up? Yeah. Did you have food? Yeah.
Yeah, people take that for granted.
Did you have clothes? Yeah. More or less, could you pay your bills? More or less, are you living, above the poverty line? And on and on and on and on. And of course, for all of us where we are, what are we going to answer to each of these questions? Avada Gavis, for sure. Says the Malbim, that's what David was saying. Nagila v'nismecha, we should be rejoicing. Okay, what's the number now? Every night, what are they saying? Something like 800 million kids around the world go to bed hungry? Isn't that the number you're hearing now? Some outrageous number. Okay? Now, no matter how upset your children made you when they were growing up, did you send them to bed hungry? Not even one time. Not even one time. Okay? I know you're looking hard. Not even one time, no matter how they drove you crazy. Right? No.
Probably
they didn't want to eat. Nagila. We should rejoice that Hashem's giving us all of this. Okay? Then, you ready? This is a tour de force. This is a brilliant statement by the Malbim that took my breath away. What are we talking about? Ubo Nagila v'nismicha. You know what the bow is? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Look what he says. Bahashem nismach. That we're rejoicing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our relationship for Him, with Him. And all those Birchat HaShachar that we say, that Emal Bishalomim, and all of that, Bashem Nismach, Loba HaTeshua Atzma. We're not rejoicing in the Teshua, but we're rejoicing in the relationship that we have, okay, with Hashem. So think about it. Nobody who's married more than Sheva Brachot week can ever say that every single day, every single hour, every single minute of their marriage has been, quote unquote, absolutely 100% perfect. It's a relationship. Relationships have ups and downs. Human beings are never completely in sync, right? Male or female are never completely in sync. It can't be, because we're two different people, right? So what do you look at? Do you measure the whole relationship because of what happened in this 1 hour when he, she, take your pick, whatever side of the aisle you want to be on, I don't care, okay, made you nervous, made you upset, in quotation marks, or you allowed yourself, however you want to psychologically say it, you're going to measure your whole situation like that, or are you going to sit there and go, no, you're going to rejoice in the fact that you have the relationship to start with, and like any other part of human involvement, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. So that's what the Malbim is saying, Hashem nismach, and Hashem will rejoice, not in a particular event itself, but in Hashem. Okay, why? Look at this. This threw me for a loop, as I guess you're beginning to hear. Ki ikar hasimcha hi ma shunoda lano, because the essence of the simcha is that we know shahashem imanu, that Hashem is with us. Wow. Ki imanu kale, right? That's why we rejoice. V'shenatan l're'av nes. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu on an ongoing basis, right? Every step I take, every breath, the whole nine yards, that famous song, right? The V'shenatan L'Re'av Nes, Hashem does an ongoing daily Nes. L'Hitna says, a miracle, all right, that leads to that which is miraculous. So like you said a moment ago, did you wake up today? Did you have food? Did you digest? Okay, I don't care if you had heartburn. I apologize if you had heartburn. But did you at least have what to eat? Okay? Baruch Hashem. That's a nes. It's a miracle that leads to that which is miraculous. But the key is, it says, Ikar ha-simcha, hi ma shenoda lanu shahashem imanu. That's so beautiful. That we Hashem is with us. And by the way, there's a famous pasuk that deals with the Mishkan that says precisely that. Anyone remember what that pasuk is?
I keep hearing this one, Ki Imanu Kel.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember
it's
from. Right.
Uferatz.
Oh, right. I keep hearing it.
That's right. You ready what the pasuk is of from Sefer Shemot? Vasu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham. Build for me a Mishkan and I'll dwell among you. And even when you don't have the Mishkan, right? Even if you don't have the Beit HaMikdash, Ki Imanu Kel, Hashem is with us, and that in and of itself is what we must rejoice in. Okay? So we're going to stop here, and Emir Tzashem will continue next week. I hope you found some of this as fascinating as I did. And we're going to be up to Pasuk Chaf Hey, which is Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Okay? Which, even for for those of you who want to be messianic about it, that pasuk is clearly changing to something else. Exactly what it's changing to? Stay tuned in a shul near you.